We're going to go to Galatians 2:15. My title's in the text there, 2:15-17. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Verse 17 is the key phrase this morning. If in seeking to be justified in Christ, that's what I want to talk about. We talked about the gospel a couple of weeks ago, just going back to our foundation. This is one aspect of the gospel, justification in Christ, being justified in Christ. It tells us part of the great salvation that Jesus won for us on the cross. It tells us about the holiness of God and why we so desperately need justification. We'll explain all that here. What it means and everything else. It's also, I think, important because October 31st, this Halloween, is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we're all descended from that movement. There's, God revealed other things, but at that point in time, the church did not have a biblical understanding of justification. And the Lord raised up Martin Luther and many other reformers, later a next generation John Calvin, but many altogether, but Martin Luther especially. And they brought back to the church the biblical understanding of justification. So it's very appropriate, I think, now at the 500th anniversary of this. Now we know what the basis of our salvation is. And we have to clarify what justification is. It's our status before God, and it doesn't change. So this idea is really important just practically as we live our Christian life. Sanctification is one thing, but our salvation is not based on it. Our salvation is based on justification, and that does not change. And we'll explain all that, but that came through the Reformation. So I think it's really relevant right now to speak about it. The first thing we can say is in verse 17, it says, justified in Christ. You don't have justification unless you have Jesus. It's in Christ. In Christ means you are one with Christ. When you put your faith in Christ and you surrender to Him as Lord, then you're united to Him. You're one with Him. That's what in Christ means. So whatever it is, we do not have justification apart from Jesus. And that's important to help us understand it, because there's a big theological battle back then trying to pin down, there still is now, a debate between Catholics and Protestants about this whole thing of justification. It's important to understand right from the beginning, it's in Christ. You don't have it apart from Jesus. It's when you have Jesus, you have it all. Everything is in Christ. Paul said you have election, adoption, the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins in Christ. You have justification, sanctification in Christ. When you put your faith in Him, it's like a marriage. You're united to Him. You're one with Him. All that is His is yours. That's when you have justification in Christ. Just look at 2 Timothy 2:10. All the salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. This is Paul again. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So all these aspects of salvation, it's in Christ. When you're united to Him by faith, then we have justification, sanctification, election, adoption, everything. Our salvation is in Christ. So let's go back to Galatians 2:17. Justified in Christ is the key phrase. So we know we just said what in Christ is. So what does justified mean? Well, it's a verb. In the Greek, it's a verb, to justify. And according to one scholar, to justify is something that comes from the Old Testament. The language is, the concept is Old Testament concept. And it means to declare someone righteous, not to make someone righteous. This is crucial. This is the dividing line between the Protestants and the Catholics, and the reason why there was a Protestant Reformation was this recovery of what justification, righteousness is, but to justify, the verb, it's to declare. It's a legal verdict of God the judge. He declares. It's like when you go to a court and you're waiting for your sentence and the gavel goes down, innocent or guilty. Well, that's what this is. That's what this is. It's the declaration of God the judge, innocent, because of your faith in Christ. Because of your only for those who have faith in Christ, surrender their lives to Him as Lord, giving it all to Him. Then the judge declares on the basis of your acceptance of the work of Christ, innocent, justified, not guilty. That's our salvation in Christ. To justify, it's a legal verdict. It's to declare someone righteous, not to change their make them righteous. That's sanctification. If we can't keep those two things apart, that's where all the confusion comes. Because it used to be taught that justification was our transformation. And it's still a teaching in the Catholic Church that to be justified includes what we would call being born again. But no, the two do happen at the same time. It's all in Christ. But justification is the legal declaration. It's not the transformation, because if justification is our basis of our salvation, so we know that God, because of our faith in Christ, has declared us innocent. It's always going to hold. It's a legal status. So it's not dependent on my sanctification. I mean, you can't have this without sanctification, because it's all in Christ. You're born again. You're going to change. We'll talk about that. But you don't go up and down with your salvation. Why? How do you know that you are saved when it says Jesus said, so that you may know that you have eternal life? How? Because the legal verdict is once for all. If you stay faithful to Christ, then if you sin, you repent and you flee it. You must, because you're born again. But you didn't lose your salvation every time you sin. Why? Because the justification is the legal verdict. God has pronounced, because of your faith in Christ, Jesus died for your sin on the cross. He took your place. The sin went on Him. He died because of your faith in that work. You are justified, and it doesn't change. Hallelujah! So we can be secure in our salvation. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. God, that verdict that's going to happen at the end when Jesus raised the dead and the holy judge is there, and Jesus is going to come and with all the angels and the holiness of God and the glory of God, and He's going to sit on the throne and pronounce judgment. That judgment on us is already done. It's come into the present because we have put our faith in Christ. The kingdom's now. That judgment of the future has crashed into the present, and we already know what the verdict is because God has said so. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? What a salvation! We are secure in our salvation. We know now we have eternal life. We know now we are accepted by God because of our faith in Christ and His work on the cross. Amen. We don't lose it every time we flee sin, but we don't lose salvation every time it happens, because it's not based on sanctification. It's based on justification, the legal verdict, your status before God. Amen. Amen. So it's an end-time legal verdict. What justify is to an end-time legal declaration of God the judge that those who believe in Jesus are righteous. And the end time means at the end, when Jesus comes back. That's the end time. He's already pronounced that, and we know what the verdict will be. So it's not a change of character. It's a verdict. And that's just where the big distinction is. And that to justify, the verb usually means to declare righteous. Let's look in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 33. You'll see what I mean. I preach this, I just want to start jumping and praising God, because it's awesome. It's done. It is finished. I am saved. I'm going to heaven. You're going to heaven because of all the work that Christ has done for us. We put our faith in it. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8:33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding. So here there's a context, and again, it's a legal charge. Who will bring a charge? So we're talking, think, when you think of justification, think of the courtroom. There's different metaphors, parts of salvation. Sanctification changes the man. Justification is you're in the courtroom before the judge. Are you going to make it or not? Are you going to be guilty or innocent? That's what justification deals with. So here, who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It's His work. He's the judge. He's the judge. And if I am justified, if God has declared justified, innocent, not guilty over my life because I put my faith in Christ, the devil can say whatever he wants. I am free. I am justified. I am loved. I am accepted. We don't have to listen to the one who condemns, the accuser of the brethren, because God justifies. God justifies. Glory. Glory. It's declared already. So it's a charge. The context is a legal courtroom situation. Who's going to bring a charge? It is God who justifies. What's the opposite of justification? Look in verse 34. Who then can condemn? So the opposite of justification is condemnation. And it's a legal thing again. It's like guilty, not guilty. This is what we're talking about. So it's not justification or condemnation. It's the legal verdict of the judge who says, you are justified, you are innocent, declared righteous. Not made righteous, declared righteous because of your faith in Christ. You see the same thing, and it's like not guilty. It's a declaration. The judge says, not guilty. Deuteronomy 25. It comes from the Old Testament, this language of to justify. And we see it the same way there. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. When people have a dispute, they are to take it to court, and the judges will decide the case. Acquitting or justifying, other versions have justifying, acquitting or justifying the innocent and condemning the guilty. This is what we're talking about. So it's a court case going before the judges, and the judges have to rule. They justify the righteous, and they condemn the wicked, the guilty. That's what's going on here. That's what the language refers to, the courtroom. It's God, the judge, making his verdict. And this is something that's crucial. This is what we needed when we first came to Jesus, and people out there that don't know Jesus, We lived our life with no reference to God. The thing is, God is the Creator. God is our Creator, and because He created us, every human being is accountable to Him. And He made the universe, and we're discovering all these incredible things. You got all throughout the solar system here, there's probes going out. We're seeing the wonders of God. We've seen the wonders of God here, and it's run by natural law. There are moral laws. And God is also a judge, and He holds people accountable. So this is a big deal for people. We live like independent of that, but we need that verdict. We need that declaration because we're all going to come before the throne. When Jesus comes back and He sits on the throne, He's going to separate the lambs from the goat. The first thing he's going to do is bring judgment. That's where we're all going. That's where we're all going. And the unbelievers can live. I mean, I did it too as an atheist. I didn't even believe God existed. And God got hold of me. I repented. And thank God He got hold of me and got hold of us because I can get my life straight now because we're all heading for that judgment day. There will be judgment day. But we have the security now that God has declared us innocent, justified us now by faith in Christ. And it's not going to change. So this is our acceptance, our acceptance from God. So when we talked about the gospel, we said the gospel, there's a fundamental need. We're separated from God by our sin. And there's many things we can do to help people, and that's great. That shows the love of God. But the fundamental thing is that man is separated from God by his sin. We need salvation. And this is another aspect of this salvation, is that our great need is to have the judge say, not guilty. That he won't condemn us and condemn us to hell. This is real. This is what we need to talk to people about, that we have a free justification in Christ. We can't earn it. This is God's work. We can't come before the throne. How do you know you're saved? It's not because you went to church. It's not because you grew up in a Christian family. I mean, I remember a preacher when he went to Brownsville Revival in Brownsville, he kept on saying, you can go to hell with your choir robes on. Bit of a shocking statement. But you can go to hell with your choir robes on. Well, yes, because it's not being a church member that makes you a Christian. It's not growing up in a Christian family that makes you a Christian. It's God's work. Have you received it? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you surrendered everything? He said, come follow me. They left everything. The disciples left everything, abandoned everything. That's what faith is, because you're putting your trust in a Lord. That means you're surrendering everything. Until you have put that surrender to Christ, that's where you become a Christian. And then you receive justification. It's God's work. You're going to heaven because of God's work and your faith in surrender in Christ, not because you went to church. Not because of all the good works. We don't have them. They're not good enough before God, not before a holy God. It's like filthy rags, according to Him, because He's so holy. So we cannot say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm basically good. But no, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus. And what He has done for me, I am justified, and I receive that promise. I believe what God has said. Because of what He has done, I am going to heaven. It's not our works. It's all by faith. Lord. As I said, justification is all in Christ. So this is what it is. First step, because we don't want to confuse the two. That led to hundreds of years of problems in the church. And then the Lord had to raise up Martin Luther and get that clear and have people that have the joy of their salvation, the security of their salvation. It's all the work of God, justification. But remember, it's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. So we read from Romans 6, we talked about that we're in sin will not be our master because we're under grace, not under law. Grace gives us the power not to be ruled by sin. And it says we have died in Christ, we have died to sin, and we've risen by to new life by the Spirit. So in Christ, many things are happening. So we're getting justified in Christ. The legal declaration, what belongs to Jesus becomes mine. His righteousness becomes mine, and I'm accepted by God on the basis of His blood. But at the same time, in Christ, I'm sanctified. In Christ, I die to sin. In Christ, I'm born again, and the Holy Spirit's there moving me to live a righteous life. So the point here is, and it's just to make the two things separate. They are distinct. Don't confuse them. Sanctification and justification. There are two different things, but, and this is important, both are in Christ. You don't get justification without sanctification. You don't get it. How do you know that you're walking with the Lord and you're a Christian? Your life is radically changed. Your life is radically changed. It happens with the new birth. You die. Paul says, he says it in Galatians. He says, well, let's go back there because he puts it in a really good summary. Galatians 2 again. So we're justified not by faith. It's in Christ. Verse 17. But if in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves among the sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Well, he's saying, well, look, because the Jews are saying, look, you have to obey the law and then you'll be righteous and God will declare you righteous. And he's saying, well, no, it's by faith in Christ, not by the law, because the law shows sin and we can't maintain the law. The law doesn't change the heart. We break the law. We're all sinners. There has to be another way to be accepted by God. It's by faith in Christ. But he says, well, what these Jews would argue with him, okay, if without the law, there's no righteousness. What if you're in Christ and you're a sinner? Well, this is Paul's answer. Does that mean Christ promotes sin? If we are unchanged and live a life of sin, that means Christ is promoting sin. He says, absolutely not. Verse 17, verse 18, if I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul's answer is that there's several things going on at the same time in Christ. Yes, you're justified. We can't live the law. You can't come to God from your works and your ancestry and your good works. They're not good enough. It's not going to cut it. Freely given, justified by faith. But does that mean you can promote sin? No. I died in Christ. It's all in Christ. So justification and sanctification, dying and rising in Christ, are inseparable. You don't get the one without the other, but they're different. That's what we have to understand. I'm not going to I'm not saved. It's, my status is the justification. Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. There's a change. But even when we sin, we're saved because of justification. They're distinct, but they're inseparable. You don't get justification without the change. Because that's Paul's answer. He said, absolutely not. We don't promote sin because I was crucified in Christ. When you're in Christ, you get both. You were something and then you became something else. There's a radical change. I died. The life that I live by faith in Christ. That's a radical. Death is radical. That your old self, you die to. So there's a radical change. You can't come to Christ and have no change in your life. You can't. That's not what the book says. Look, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So justification is distinct from sanctification, but the two are both in Christ. You can't have one without the other. That's what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians 6. There's a radical change when you put your faith in Christ. Verses 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. If you think you're living a life of sin, you're unchanged, you're deceived thinking you're a Christian going to heaven. That's what he's saying. Do not be deceived. Wrongdoers will not. We all sin. We're all moving towards God. But living the life of sin without change, you are not going to heaven. That's what he's saying here. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor practicing homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Past tense. Ed was just testifying. Was an alcoholic. Past tense. Were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So that also happens when we put our faith in Christ. We're not perfect, but we're radically changed. I was an atheist, so I couldn't even believe in God. I became a believer, a very ardent believer in Jesus Christ. Something radically changed, and there's other things I had to repent of, and things, there was a radical change. We were something, and then when Jesus got hold of us, we were that, and we aren't now. The two go together. So let's go back to Galatians 2:15. That's our main text. So justification is the legal verdict of God. It's separate from sanctification, but it's united to it. The two happen, both in Christ. That's what we're saying this morning. And salvation is in Christ. It includes all these things. Galatians 2:15. Just reread the text. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not justified by the law because Paul says in Romans 3 that by the law comes knowledge of sin. We're going to live according to a code and we're going to try to be good and all that other stuff. You will find, as a non-Christian, you'll most of the time you'll be spending breaking that code, whatever it is, whatever code you have, you'll find yourself breaking it again because your heart's not changed. So we cannot be saved by our own righteousness, by our own code. We're not justified by the law, by good works. We're not. It has to be by faith in Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. So the next point is simply that we're justified by faith. What justification is, legal declaration. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not the works of the law, because we're all under sin. And because it's that way, it's by grace. That's what Paul says later, and it's God's free gift. Look at Romans 3:24. It's God's salvation, it's God's work, it's God's free gift to us. Hallelujah. Romans 3:24. And all are justified freely. Say with me, freely. Freely. It's free means free. We didn't add to it, cause it, earn it. He even gives us the gift of faith freely. And we have justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And look in chapter 4 of Romans, verse 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. So we start with a promise from God, and then God has said, okay, salvation, getting the acceptance of God, the legal verdict from God, is by faith in His grace. It's justification freely given. And this is what Paul is saying. If it wasn't that way, then you would have to become a Jew to become saved, to become a Christian. Because he said it's for all who believe. If it was by the law, all the men here would be circumcised. All the men, we would all have to be following every aspect of the law. There'd still be sacrifices and everything else. But it's not by the law. So that way the Gentiles could come in and they would become Christians without becoming Jews. That's what Paul, it's for anyone who believes. It has to be this way. It's not by the law. Even for the Jews, they could go on observing the law, but not for salvation. They would have to believe in Christ for salvation. So that's what he's saying here. It's for all who believe. And it's by grace, it's through faith, and it's by a promise. So if it's by faith, what is faith? We talked about it when we just talked about the gospel. The response Jesus is looking for is faith. So faith has like three parts. It's you believe these truths. What we're saying in the scripture, you believe them as true. I believe God's promise. He will accept me if I put my faith in Christ. Two, there's an element of personal trust with faith. You trust your life to Him. He is now the Lord. You're confessing Him as Lord. You're no longer the boss. There's a transfer of ownership, and you say, I'm living for You, and I'm trusting You. You are the Lord of my life. And three, there's a radical commitment. A radical surrender. When Jesus said, what was the response to the gospel Jesus wanted? We talked about it, follow me. They left everything. They left the nets, they left everything, because we confess at salvation, we are saved when we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord. So when you're believing in Jesus, you believe that His work, but you're coming to Him as He is, as Lord. And if He's Lord, that means He rules and reigns, and I do not rule my own life. That's faith. Faith without works is dead. It's not just not intellectual assent. Faith obeys. Faith does something. So here, when we come in faith to Christ, we surrender everything. He becomes the Lord and Master of my life. He dictates my time, my job, my wife, whatever. And we're looking for His direction in our lives. He is the Lord. And we no longer live for ourselves. He died and rose again so that we who live would no longer live for ourselves. That's all faith. And repentance, turning away from the... running our own lives. So when you become a Christian, that's what happens. You surrender your life. You trust in this work and not your own work. And you believe what the Bible says about these things. That's faith. That's what makes us a Christian. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4, verses 1 to 8. What then shall we say that Abraham, the forefather of us Jews, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works. So that's the big thing here. Are we justified by our own righteousness, by our own works, or by faith in Christ? Which is it? So let's go back to Abraham. What was the case with Abraham? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to anyone who works, their wages are not credited to them as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to anyone who does not work, but trusts, faith is trust, trust God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sins the Lord will never count against them. It's like, it's a hallelujah time. This is just, oh, you want to praise God when you just meditate on the word and see what He's done. Blessed are those who are forgiven. So justification here is like forgiveness, because he's talking about David. Paul says that David was talking about justification, and then he quotes David, and David is talking about forgiveness. Which is it? They're the same thing. Justification is very much linked to forgiveness of sin. So we're talking, again, it's a legal thing. It's not a change of character. We're talking about forgiveness of sin, because that's what's going on here. And then when he says it's credited, it's by faith, Abraham He believed God about the promises. Okay, God, you will multiply, make me greater than a great nation when I have no children, but then it's impossible for me, but I believe you can do it. He was credited righteousness. So that term, credited righteousness, implies that it's a righteousness outside of Abraham. It's something that God gives him. It's not his own. That's what Paul keeps driving at. He said, I renounce my own righteousness in order to have the righteousness of God. You cannot come to God in your own good works. They're not good enough. God knows that you honor your moral code more in the breach than actually doing it. If you're not born again and have the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans 7, we're slaves to sin. Those who are under the law are slaves to sin. We're bound. So we cannot say, God, like, I'm basically a good person on that basis, accept me in heaven. He's going to say, what? It's all in the book. In Revelation, he records every deed, and you'll be judged justly, and he knows everything, and he knows that we fail, that we break our own code. So it has to be by faith. So this righteousness that Paul's talking about, that Abraham credited righteousness, comes from the outside. Paul says in Philippians 3, I let go of my own righteousness that I might have the righteousness of God. It's another language for justification. So that was a big thing for Paul, a Jew who loved the law, to get through this and understand this whole thing, that he was so zealous to serve God, but he was not born again. He had the old Adam nature, so he didn't have the Holy Spirit to help him, so that he was basically a sinner and needed salvation another way. The righteousness of God credited to him, coming from the outside, something not his own. And that's what happens when you're in Christ. It's like a marriage. It used to be, it's changed now, but it used to be by law, when you became married, all your goods were shared. Now it's like everybody's protecting their stuff. But whatever. Before it wasn't that way. It used to be just share and share alike, okay? So that's what it is when you're one with Christ. You're united to Him, like you're married to Him. All that is His becomes yours. His righteousness becomes yours. And on that basis, you're accepted by God. Praise the Lord. It's external. It's from the outside. And then the Holy Spirit works the internal stuff. Because without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But our salvation is with the justification. Because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Wow. You want the gospel in a nutshell? Right there, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin, Jesus had no sin, became sin. How do you become sin when you're not a sinner? He's not talking about actual sin. He's talking about a legal status, legally, before God the judge. He took on our sin. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. We become the righteousness of God. So if the sin is legal, he's talking about a legal status. He's taking on this our sin. Jesus never sinned, so it's not actual. It's a legal thing. So the righteousness of God refers to a legal thing. There's a divine exchange, an incredible exchange on the cross. We get married. Well, he gets our sin, and we get his righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 That's why we're saved, because of His righteousness, an external righteousness that's credited to us that comes from the outside. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? It's His a full salvation in His work, and our faith is fully entrusting in that work, nothing from ourselves. It says that we just don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. Faith, and He gives us faith, but we can resist. But it's all faith in His work. So let's look in Romans 4:5. We'll conclude with this last point, Romans 4, verse 5. However, to anyone who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as unrighteousness. If you just stop 2 seconds and let that hit you, trust the one who God who justifies the ungodly, what? God is the holy judge. He says in the Old Testament, He hates anyone who justifies the wicked, who declares innocent who is wicked. He's looking for justice. What is this, that God will justify the ungodly? How can God, who is just and requires justice, that we give a just ruling, the wicked get punished and the righteous get off? How can He justify the ungodly? Well, it's the same idea we see in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. God can do it basically because of the blood. Verses 5 to 6 to 9. He can justify the ungodly. He can still be just and the justifier of the ungodly at the same time because of the blood. So my last point, we are justified by the blood of Jesus. Romans 5, 6 to 9. You see, at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood. Key verse. Christ died for us out of love for us. We are justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Similar idea in chapter 3, verses 24 to 25. Chapter 3, verse 24. For all have sinned, verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So he's demonstrating he is just. He can justify the ungodly because Jesus took our sin. We're justified by the blood. His justice was satisfied. That's the whole point. That's why we need the Savior, because everybody's got a divine appointment with the throne. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat. Those that have put their faith in Christ are declared righteous, forgiven. We already know that now. Those who have not put their faith in Christ, they'll be condemned, sent to hell. Everybody's going there. But we've been justified by the blood. The blood turned away the wrath of God. The blood turned away the judgment of God. He died in my place. My sin was put on him. And then he died in that. And because of that, God can say righteous. God can justify the ungodly. Because of the work of Christ. Without that work, there's no forgiveness. Without sacrifice, there is no forgiveness. Well, people say, well, it's God's job to forgive. Not without justice. Not without justice. God forgives on the basis of justice. He's holy, he's righteous, he set the laws, he's the one who enforces the law. There's no separation of powers. We don't have a constitution, a parliament, and a police force. He's all in all. He's got it all. He makes the law, he enforces it, and he'll hold us account to it. So no, he will judge. But the only way out of that is through faith in Christ. He won't judge twice. He judged once the Son. If all our sin was on him, he will not judge twice. So we put our faith in that judgment, and we are clean before God, righteous before God, because we're justified by the blood that his sacrifice turned away that judgment. And we know that now. The moment you become a Christian, you know that you have eternal life, because that's all yours. It's all yours in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that something to praise God for? Let's give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We praise you for such a great salvation. Praise you for such a great salvation. Glory. Glory. So what we said this morning, that we're justified in Christ, and what that means, justified in Christ, means that God declares us, doesn't make us, declares us righteous in Christ, and we're justified by faith, not by works of the law or our own good works, since everybody's under sin. And it's this way because it's by grace, God's free gift. And lastly, we are justified by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. What a great salvation. Lord, we thank you for your word. We praise you for all that you've done. What can we say? All we can do is praise. All we can do is praise you for such a great salvation. All that you've done. We are clean. We are justified. We are righteous. We are going to heaven. We are forgiven because we put our faith and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept his offering on our behalf, and we need nothing else, and you give it to us freely. Thank you. We praise you. You are an awesome God. We exalt you for your salvation. We exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray.